Hello, welcome to the Application Acceleration Challenge for 2006. I'm Robin Leyland, the host for the challenge series. In this section, you will find my presentation along with several by the vendors who will present useful information and facts about application acceleration. My presentation will concentrate on some basics of application acceleration. First, let's start off with, why do we care about application acceleration? Well, there's many reasons. Everything from your remote users who complain about response time, something which always seems to be the case. It could also be because files and attachments from the data center through remote locations take forever. One of the biggest drivers of application acceleration is data center consolidation. For financial or regulatory reasons, servers that used to be in the remote sites have been consolidated to the data center, changing what used to be a local LAN hop into a hop over the WAN, greatly increasing response time. Backups, which are required to be kept in the data center, also can take a long time, driving the need for acceleration. Another major factor driving the interest in application acceleration is the move to HTTP, or web-based applications. HTTP, along with other application protocols used inside that, such as SOAP, XML, AJAX, can generate a tremendous amount of data, greatly increasing the size of transactions from the client-server days. And another reason is just you want to get more out of your existing bandwidth. You want to delay an upgrade by saving some money, reducing the cost. Or an upgrade is not available, but your users still want faster response time. Any of these reasons are valid, and whatever reasons you have, application acceleration technology can do wonders for your response time. Okay, let's talk about how you accelerate. The following you see is my sort of model or chart for various techniques that you use to accelerate traffic. There is no one technique. Application acceleration is a combination of techniques. These include compression, both standard space, such as gzip, which is found in every browser, to more advanced compression techniques developed by the acceleration vendors. Next is caching, moving data closer to the user. Following that is there's various techniques used by that can be applied to TCP to speed up traffic, along with the standard ones of QoS and application standard shaping and SSL offload. And the last category, which is where a lot of the new research is going, is application specific. Techniques, acceleration techniques that apply to a specific protocol. Now, I'm going to concentrate in this presentation and show an example of three of these. I'm going to talk about advanced compression, caching, and an application specific technique, in this case, how to accelerate files with Microsoft's CIFS protocol. Okay, let's start on application acceleration, advanced compression. There are several names for this. A lot of vendors will call these techniques dictionary compression. I tend to think of them as large pattern recognition. And they can best be shown by a simple example. Let's say that the first message you send, or the first packet that passed over the accelerators to the remote site, is one that says, example of using patterns to make a message shorter. Well, this first time this message goes through, the accelerators are going to have to send the entire message. There's nothing it can do outside of just standard Z-zip compression. But what it can do is build a table of the data it saw in that packet. In this case, I had it break the sentence down into four entries into the table. Entry 1, example of. Entry 2, using patterns. 3, to make a. 4, message shorter. Okay, let's then say a next packet is a variation on that sentence, using patterns to make the message shorter. What the accelerator is able to do is communicate to the other accelerator using references. It now only needs to send the reference to entry 2, makes V, with a reference to entry 4. When the accelerated and remote side receives it, it goes into its tables, pulls out using the patterns, makes V, goes to its table, message shorter. Now, let's assume that somebody else sent down the same sentence. It would be even shorter then. It would be a reference to entry 2, reference to entry 5, reference to entry 4. Now, this is really useful, especially when you have files. Especially, for example, let's take an example of a PowerPoint presentation. You're working with a colleague at a remote site. You send down the presentation. They make a minor change in one slide. When it gets sent back up, only a lot of references and only the change has to be sent. A large PowerPoint presentation could conceivably be sent in only a packet or two. Now, the example I used in the table is the actual acceleration vendors do a lot better job and a lot more sophisticated job than I showed. And that's one of the ways they vary, is how efficiently they build the table and maintain the table. But that's basically how advanced compression works. All right, let's talk about caching. Caching is gold, is to take the data closer to the user. And let's take a simple case where we have a client, remote office with an accelerator, the WAN, an accelerator at the data center. The first time the object is requested, it goes all the way up to the servers. The server then sends the object down, but the data center accelerator will then store that object. It then forwards it to the accelerated remote office, which also stores the object. And then it forwards it on to the client who receives it. And if the client has caching turned on in their browser, it also will store a copy of the object. So let's say now the client's next screen asks for the same object. Say it's a logo. It goes up, the request goes to accelerator. The accelerator will be smart enough to realize that that object is already in the client's cache. So it will just send a simple message down to the client saying, use the object in your cache. I call this browser caching. Let's take another example. A different client in that remote office asks for that same object. It sends a request up to the accelerator. The accelerator can then send down the object from its cache. The request never had to go up to the data center. I call that remote caching. And let's deal with the third case. It's the first request from this location, but somebody else somewhere in the network had already requested the object and the accelerator in the data center had seen it. So the request is forwarded all the way up to the accelerator in the data center. And the accelerator intercepts the request and immediately sends the object down to the client. This is important for two reasons. First of all, it means that the client, the servers, did not have to waste cycles retrieving the object. And also allows the local or remote accelerator to learn it. I call this data center caching. You'll hear terms such as forward and backwards, but I find they're confusing because it really depends on which way you're looking at it. But really, there's browser caching, remote caching, and data center caching. The good news on all of this caching is it lessens the load on the servers. And that's sort of the bottom line on caching. Let's concentrate on another problem. Microsoft and their file exchange servers send a lot of files. Traditionally, the way that was handled was you put a file server at the remote office. That way, everything was fast. You really didn't care if the SIFTIS protocol was very efficient. But with data center consolidation, that server is now up in the data center. And the client's request for a file, it goes all the way across the WAN. So what happens? In this simple example, the client requests the first block in the file. Basically, SIFTIS has what I call a window size of 1 in communications terms. It means it has to send a request for a block, and before it asks for the next block, it waits until it receives the first block. So in this case, it sends a request for the first block, the request travels over to WAN, which takes time, goes into the data center LAN and into the server, which then neatly sends the first block. That block also has to travel over the wide area network, taking time, and finally arrives in the LAN, which and then the client. And this process repeats until all the blocks have been received. This creates what I call the dead time between the request for the block and the reception of the block. The client's doing nothing, it's just waiting. If the file is large, there's a large number of these dead times. From a communication protocol point of view, this is not very efficient. So how do we solve this problem? Well, we solve it by a technique called WAFIS, Wide Area File Servers. Now, one comment before I get into solution is that there is no standard on this. There are several variations and how the vendors are implementing it, what they're implementing, and exactly the technique they use. I mean, they all follow roughly something I'm presenting here, but you do need to question the vendors. So let's go into one of the more common ways this is solved. When the first request for block comes in, the remote accelerator, of course, sends it up to the WAN, to the data center, to the accelerator there. It forwards the request for first block to the server. But the data center accelerator treats this request for block not as an individual request for block, but as this get file. It's smart enough to know that there's multiple blocks to create this file. So when the first block comes back from the server, it of course immediately forwards it over the LAN to the client. But, and also immediately turns around and requests block 2. This is before the client has even requested block 2. Gets that block, forwards it immediately to the remote accelerator, and continues this sequence until the file is completely gotten. What happens on the remote accelerator side is that when it sends the first block, it gets immediately a request for block 2. This block is quickly brought down because it's already been sent, may even actually be in storage, so it can respond locally and immediately send block 2. And this continues on. In other words, the dead time in the previous slide is only really there with the first block. The dead times between block request for block 2 and block 2 and receiving block 2 is very small, if existing at all. So thus, the file appears to be gotten as if it was local, greatly speeding up the response time. Now back to my chart on the acceleration techniques. TCP/IP flow control can do a lot. There's a lot of techniques in TCP/IP which accelerator vendors have applied to greatly increase the throughput. I mean, they manipulate flow control, they do something called connection pooling or multiplexing. This is addressing a problem especially prevalent in HTTP, where when you request a web page, each object on the page is a separate session or connection. So there's a lot of connection startups and connection takedowns to get the objects. What the accelerator vendors do is take all those connections and map them to a single connection. So connection is only started at the start of the accelerator or the start of the get page, and last until even the entire page is gotten, sometimes until the user logs off, and even longer, reducing the number of connections at times that have to be wasted. This also reduces the load on the server. They can also, acceleration vendors, have also done some things to handle and error correction so that it is more efficient. Most all the acceleration vendors have also implemented QoS and application shaping so that you can guarantee that the important traffic gets the priority and gets the bandwidth. And unimportant applications do not impact the mission-critical ones. A lot of the acceleration vendors have also implemented SSL offload. They do it in hardware, which is faster than what the servers generally can do in software, saving some time. And then there's application specific, which I gave the example of WAFIS with CIFIS. This is one area where the vendors are doing a lot of work and a lot of research. I list HTTP, CIFIS, VOIP, but there are others. Some vendors have come out with techniques to help Citrix. Some are working on techniques for SAP and other common protocols. This is one area where the vendors will be excelling in the future and probably differentiating themselves. So where do you need accelerators? Well, truthfully, you're going to be over the next few years, I feel, implementing an application delivery architecture, of which acceleration is a major component. This architecture will require that you put accelerators basically at all the endpoints of your network. You're going to need them at your data center before the data center switch. You're going to need them in the remote offices. You're also going to need them for wireless internet users. Now, for internet users, of course, it's not practical to put a device out there. So it would be primarily be accomplished by client software, of which you'll find several vendors have already developed or are developing it. You also find that you're going to need it for wireless users. This can be either by putting the box where the wireless users come, but probably solved the same way the internet users are with client software. Okay, let's talk about a few key issues. I've been involved with acceleration now for about 3 years, and the good news is I'm getting a lot of real-world feedback from people who have implemented this technology, and they say basically the message is these acceleration techniques work. They solve the problems they're meant to solve. So that's some good news. Now, you will find that there are differences between implementations, especially in the application-specific areas. For example, I used the example of WAFIS, where I said there's many variations. So you've got to really drill down and make sure, ask the vendors, what are they doing in your particular application problems? Another important point is I can't stress enough the importance of application monitoring and understanding what's going on in your networks. The number of users I have talked to who have been shocked to find out what's running on their network is really shocking. And if you really want to take advantage of this technology, it's useful to know what's running on your network, what is actually happening, and what response time users are actually seeing. So I encourage you to very much look into application monitoring. Also, you should look really closely at any special techniques they have. This is not a commodity. This has not been standardized. There are variations between vendors. And so you need to really drill down and understand what each vendor is offering. Also, you'll find that their overall packaging will vary. How they package this up, whatever techniques in the application delivery area they include in there, will vary. And depending on what your particular requirements are, you need to look at each one's packaging. Now, this was a short presentation. All of the presentations, luckily, are short. They only take 15 minutes of your time on the average. I encourage you to look at them because I've asked each of the vendors to present a key issue, technology, or technique they use in their application. All the vendors do a lot more than they're going to present. You know, this is like a trade show presentation. They don't have time to go into everything. And the text part of the challenge has even more details. Of course, if this looks like it's going to solve a problem you have, I very much encourage you to call the vendor in.